as we continue on in our sermon, The Standards of the Master, just as we were going through the Sermon on the Mount, we've said many times and we'll say again, the greatest sermon preached by the greatest preacher of all times, and how humbling it is. We can't get even come close to the situation or what our Lord and Savior in that moment as He was teaching. But you know, we have much to glean from this sermon, much that we can take and apply to our lives, and much that we can see that Christ, and we see it's really His manifesto of what kingdom citizenship looks like. And so I want us to think about that. We're at Matthew chapter 5:5 today. Let's stand to our feet and we'll just read this one verse so you won't be on your feet long. We'll pray and we'll get started. Matthew 5:5, if you would. The Word of God says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank You. We sent Your presence here already today, and we thank You for that. We thank You for the privilege of opening in Your Word. We thank You for this sermon that Christ preached many years ago, but yet we can glean from it. And so we're asking You through the Holy Spirit of God to touch us right where we're at. Hide me behind the cross. May Your Word go forward. For Christ's glory, in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Title of our lesson today in the Standards of the Master is Meekness is Not Weakness. Meekness is not weakness. I want us to think about that today, because in our survival of the fittest philosophy in America and the world today, meekness is not a quality that is really sought after. I want us to begin thinking about that. After, you know, it's, by the way, it's aggressive that it succeed. We teach our kids, be aggressive in sports, be these kind of things, and we actually honor that. We say, oh, that's great that he's aggressive when it comes to football or basketball or baseball or any of these things. And so this idea that Jesus says, blessed are the meek, man, it's going to go countercultural to a lot of the things. Guess what? This message goes countercultural. Why? Because the Master's preaching it. And our culture is opposite of what the Master wants and what He expects. And we see true success when we come to these Scriptures. We see these Beatitudes as we start, which, what is that? Attitudes we ought to be. Okay, I can't help it. I had to say that, right? Attitudes we ought to be. Beatitudes. How we should be as kingdom citizens. And so I want to think about, we mentioned at the beginning of the paradox, and I saw that even in our song today, what a paradox is. It's a seeming a contradiction. Think about Jesus' life, what a contradiction it was, what a paradox itself. For He talks about, think about, He says, and He shocks us to attention, He humbled Himself to be exalted. He tells us that. He says the poor will be enriched. He came captive for our deliverance. Death for life. Losers are winners. Weakness is strength. Serving is ruling. Think about those paradoxes and how Jesus' life exemplified those. How contrary they are to the world that we seem to live in now. You know, and we think finders are keepers and what? Losers are. That's our philosophy. I want you to know that's not Jesus's. And this morning I want us to look at one of the greatest paradoxes of the whole Beatitudes. And that's, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Think about that. The meaning of meekness first. I want us to look at that. Blessed are the meek. You know, we've already stated that might makes it right. They understood that the power is absolute. And I want you to think about Jesus' day and where He's at. He's up on the mountaintop and He's sitting down and He's teaching them. The crowds are around Him. Do you not think they didn't understand this philosophy? Think about, they're under Roman domination for almost 100 years now. So they know what it was to be dominated by might, by power. Rome was known for that, for conquering. And so they understood this idea of this might making right and this survival of the fittest, because they were living it. And you know what they were looking for? They were looking for a conqueror. They were looking for a Messiah to come in and take them out from under the Roman domination, to deliver them and make Israel back to what it was supposed to be. And so that was the Messiah they were looking for. That's why they had such a hard time. They rejected their very Messiah. Why? Because they had made Him into what they thought He should be. Oh, He's coming back as a conqueror. White horse. Oh, Dave's over there beside him. Look. Yeah. That's when He comes back as a conqueror. We're all in Christ's children. He'll come back on the white steed one day, but he came as a lamb to slaughter. Did he not read Isaiah? Did he not see the lamb that was sacrificed for the sins of the world? I mean, the suffering servant that he talked about. But you can see that it's very easy for us to make a Jesus to fit whatever circumstance we want. That's the world you're living in today, by the way. People holler the name of Jesus, but they make him into whatever they want to be, and they don't even live by the standards of God's Word. What's up with that? It's the same thing that was going on in their day. So they understood this might by might, this Roman power by might, absolute power. That strength's a virtue. And that Greek, the Hellenistic mindset, that strength was a virtue. And so this is going to go contrary to that. And you want it was to be subservient. And so I want us to think about meekness, which is praos. It's this idea of being gentle. They needed someone to deliver them from the Romans. And so this idea of somebody being gentle and humble and strength under control, and hey, that's not what they thought that their Savior needed to be. And so they rejected him. The last thing on the street, the man on the street wants to be known for. The last thing that the man on the street is being meek, okay? Right? How many of us men want to think, yeah, we're meek? I mean, seriously, we make meek into something that it's not in the Bible, by the way. We think of it as several things, and we'll talk about it as we get into this service. But it's a devastating philosophy to today's philosophy. Jesus, that's what he did. He turned things upside down. Aren't you glad? We're sitting here today, right, by the way, 2015, June 14th, 2015, because he did turn the world upside down. And here we are. His children, Gentiles, birthed into the kingdom. Why? Because that was his plan. He has a plan for you, by the way. Each and every one of you. Don't let Satan tell you that you're useless, because God can use you right where you're at. Aren't you glad? And so did Jesus make a mistake when he says, it's the meek? Blessed are they? Did he make a mistake? No, he didn't. In fact, he's given this countercultural truth in the midst of a group of people that the last thing they wanted to hear. But that's oftentimes when truth needs to be heard, it's always the last thing people want to hear, okay? We live in a world that desperately needs to hear the truth from your lips and my lips. And you know what? It's the last thing they want to hear. And you won't be very popular whenever you tell the truth and you live on the truth. Why? Because it convicts. It convicts of lifestyles. It convicts of sin choices. And so that's what they hate. They're really hating the name of Jesus. And we'll get into that beatitude here before long. We'll get ahead of ourselves. Now, I don't know about you, but these beatitudes are a self-analysis of myself. You know, hey, this analysis, self-looking in the mirror and say, how am I lining up to this kingdom citizenship? How am I lining up to this manifesto of the king? This is what I'm supposed to look like. And I know one thing that it does makes me want to do. I don't want to be an average, superficial Christian, okay? I don't know about you. Is that what you want to be? Just an average, superficial Christian? That you want to come on Sunday morning and listen to some redneck get up and preach about God's Word, but it never changes you? Is that what Christianity is boiled down to? Is that what we want today? We desperately need something that will change our life, that will make a difference, that will change us, that we don't leave here the same. And it's God's Word. I don't want to come to church, say the right passwords, walk an aisle, do whatever it is, and think that I'm all right with God when it doesn't make any difference in my life. That's not true Christianity. And that's not the gospel that Christ preached here in this message. And that's not the gospel that you'll hear at this church. Because the Word of God says, this is the way that it is. And sometimes truth, it glances and it cuts and it bites and it sands. And that's what it's supposed to do. It does that to all of us, by the way. Blessed are the meek. Two questions. What is it to be blessed then? We talked about this, especially when we started outside, and we talked about this word blessed means happy. We've all heard that. But it's not a happiness like we imagine happiness. Our happiness tends with what? It's our situations, ain't it? Everything's going good, man. I'm healthy. I feel good. The money's coming in. The bills are getting paid. The cars ain't tearing up. I got groceries in the cabinet. Everything's good. My team's winning. Whatever you want to put it in there, right? Deer season's coming. Whatever makes you happy, That's not the happiness he's talking about. And yes, in fact, we fleshed it out. It's this idea of being approved by God. Blessedness is being approved by God. It's knowing that you're living the standards that God has called you to live. It's this blessedness, this, yeah, it's more than just happiness, but this joy that comes from knowing that you're his and he's yours. And you're covered by the blood. And yes, you make mistakes, as we talked about in our Sunday school lesson, but you know what he said? If I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Stand confessed up before the throne of God. Then I'm in right standing with God. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Blessedness. Not the kind that we understand, but approved. It's just the stability of knowing Christ. Are you a stable person? You're stable, man. But why? Because your foundation is set upon the rock, on Christ. Jesus promises that you'll find true happiness and fulfillment in his teachings. We're searching for it. Oh, Lord, I just want to be happy. I want to have fulfillment. I want to have purpose. Jesus said, man, it's right here. Let me show you. This is how we find fulfillment. Now, it's not going to look like the world tells you, okay? You're not going to fit in just right. If you're trying to fit in, you're not going to make it. If you think about when he started off saying being poor in spirit, what does poor in spirit does? We talked about this, realizing that we're a beggar and we just rely on God so desperately. And but that focus, if you think about it, our focus is on our sinfulness. And when we realize that we're poor in spirit and we're so sinful for God, before God, we need a Savior, we need Jesus, it causes us, the next beatitude, to mourn. It causes the emotional side of that, that we mourn because we so desperately need him. And so these things are focusing on the sinfulness, whereas meekness is focusing on the holiness of God. Think about it. We see how unworthy we are when we're poor in spirit and we mourn. We see how unworthy we are, but we see how worthy he is. And it causes us to be humble and gentle. And that's what the world so desperately needs to see. People with strength, but humble and gentle. You see, when we see that we're unworthy, but we see how worthy he is, it changes us. It makes us into different people. We see God. We seek after his righteousness. Well, not only that, but who are, not on what is the blessed, but who are the blessed? Look what it says. The meek. We think of meek as being a doormat, allowing people just to run roughshod over us. And boy, we Americans, we're not about that, right? We don't let anybody run roughshod over us. That's not what meekness is talking about, okay? We form this idea of what the definition is. It has nothing to do with the biblical standard and what the meaning is. Does it mean that when you're meek, and I'm not talking about somebody that's shy or real low-key. That's not what the meaning of meek is either. It's not talking about somebody that never gets angry. Don't you hate those people? Never gets angry then. They're just, everything's okay. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4 to be angry and sin not. So it's all right to be angry as long as it's righteous indignation. And we should be very angry today, okay? Because of these two flags, they're as far apart as they've ever been. Okay? Let's just be honest. We should be angry as what we see that we're allowing the world to turn our nation into. It's be angry and sin not. It's all right to be angry, but it's this anger, this strength under control, and we'll keep talking about that in just a minute. Meek person is not given to anger. It's not, they're not controlled by anger. I was an angry person before I came to know Christ. Can you believe that? I was. I was one of them guys that got so far, I just turned everything over. One of them guys. I just had to let it go. I had to bend it, loose it, and let it go. Like Lazarus, right? I just tear everything up. Does that honor the Lord? You might be one of those persons. Let me tell you, in Christ you can overcome that, okay? Don't tell me that just because your last name, oh, that's Cooper. That's just Cooper. How about Jesus? Jesus overcomes any last name or any trait that you might have in your heritage. He can overcome that. I'm still given to that. It can happen. It can happen in the flesh. But you know what? Praise God, something happened one night. One Wednesday night. And he changed my life forever. And he even, look, he's even got a sense of humor. He's got me up here preaching to you good people. Look, that's God's got a sense of humor, don't he? Go ahead and laugh. It's all right. I laugh all the time and say, no, who's the preacher? Oh, it's me. It's me. I forgot, Lord. And it's just comical sometimes. Meekness is this gentle, humble, considerate, respectful idea. It's power under control. It's actually a word that's used of a horse that's broken, a war horse that's got strength. A horse, you think about a horse. It can, Ted, you know all about horses. It's big. You get those big ones like Aaron's got. And think about, they could trample you in the ground if they wanted to. But they're broke. They're not wild anymore. And so they're subservient to the master wherever he says to go. And that's what this idea of meekness is. It's power under control. It's not letting people run roughshod over you. It's not a doormat. It's this idea of having the power and access to power, but being under control. It's governed by gentleness. It's governed by this idea of, we know that we're tempered in Christ. Tempered in Christ. The heat's been turned up. You know what? The tempering, that's what it does. The heat's been turned up a few times, and you learn, and you react the wrong way. Does anybody, you know what I'm talking about? You act the wrong way. Where's that get you? It gets you a lot of, don't it? A lot of times it gets you in trouble with a lot of people, but it also gets you in trouble with God because he convicts you of those things. And so he's tempering you. He's allowing you to become more Christ-like. I want you to know something, that it's not something that comes natural, okay? Not something that we, that this is going to come because we strive to do it. It's going to come from supernatural. Listen, James 1:21 says, therefore lay aside all filthiness, the overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. That's what James says. And we know that it's something supernatural because in Galatians 5 it's part of the fruit of the Spirit. That gentleness is the same word. Love, joy, peace. All these gifts of the Spirit, these fruit of the Spirit, we know that meekness is one of them. It comes through the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within us. It comes from a life that's set apart and living by the standard of God's Word. And Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit flowing through us. That's the only way that it comes. And the only way that it's manifested. And in our, like in our lesson today, the fruit comes forth, okay? Whatever your root, you know, the root, the fruit goes together. By the way, if there's no any root, there's not going to be any fruit, okay? John 15 tells us that. But he says, if I abide in him and he abides in me, what will I do? I'll bear much what? Fruit! And then he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Maybe the problem is that we're not bearing fruit is because the root has never been laid at the foot of the cross. It's something for us to think about. What kind of fruit is coming forth in our life? Is it gentleness? Is it the fruit of the Spirit? Well, next, let's look at the not only the meaning of meekness, but examples of meekness. Look here. Moses is our first one. Think about Moses. We know the story. It says in Numbers 12, 3 list, now the man Moses was very humble, which is the same word for meek. More than all the men who were on the face of the earth. That's what they said about Moses. That's what God said about Moses. Now, did he start out that way? We all know the story. He's put in the basket, right? The queen finds him. The king's daughter finds him while she's bathing. She raises him. He's a prince of Egypt. Right? What happens? He goes out. He knows he's an Israelite. Why? Because his mom nursed him, right? It's all set up. Lord, the Lord had that all lined up. But he sees an Egyptian beating an Israelite. What did Moses do? Took it in his own hand. He murdered him. Does that sound like somebody meek to you? And then he runs. We're out of here. Why? Because he's getting ready to lose his life. He thinks the Pharaoh's going to find out about it and take his own life. So he runs. You know where he learned meekness at? 40 years in the desert. 40 years in the desert, he learned not to depend on himself and take things in his own hands, but to place it on God. You might need to hear that today. Don't take things in your own hand. Quit trying to make it work in your own hands. Give it to God. The desert's where we learn meekness. It's where we learn to sacrifice and turn it over to him. God raised him up to be what? One of the greatest leaders in all Scripture. Moses. Brought the children to Egypt. And remember all the way up the time when God says, you go get my children. Lord, I ain't good with words. That didn't work for me. Here I am. I tried telling him that it didn't work. I thought maybe he could bring Aaron. You know, no, it didn't work. Moses said, I can't. I'm not elegant in speech, man. I can't do this. God got a little aggravated with him. But you know what? He used Aaron in his life. He became a great leader. Why? Because he was meek. God had broken him. Well, not only Moses, but think about Abraham. Abraham in Genesis 13 there, 9, which is one of the greatest examples of meekness that we see. Listen to what I said. And this is Abraham and Lot have come together, right? Abraham and Lot, their herds get so big, God's blessing them. They have so many herds, right, that they're starting to argue. Their herdsmen are starting to argue. Ah, that's my piece of land. Hey, this is Abraham's sheep. Let him graze over here. That's better land. So they're having an argument. What does Abraham do? He's the patriarch. He was the one that was promised. God gave him the promise of the covenant. He could have said, what? I'm going to choose and you go wherever. Is that what he did? No, he didn't. In fact, listen to what he says in Genesis 13:9. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, I'll go right. If you go to the right, I'll go left. He forsook his rights. His rights. Boy, that's what we're all about. We got the right. We have rights. Abraham had the right. What did he do? In meekness, he gave it over to Lot. You know why? Why could he do something like that? He knew God had this. You know God has this. He's in control, by the way. Don't matter what your situation is, Abraham could say, hey, you choose. Why? Because I can't lose. You choose. Can't lose. That's what he's saying. He knew God had it. He knew God was in control and that God would, didn't matter where he ended up, God take care of him. That's why he's able to do that. That's meekness. That's power under control. And lastly, our greatest example, Jesus. I want you to think about that. Jesus, the God-man, in control of all of it. Colossians tells us that he sustains all things, keeps it all under control. At any time, he could have called down a legion of angels. What did one angel do to the Syrians back in the Old Testament? 180,000 men gone one night. One angel? He could call down a legion of them? He could say, let there not be. Just like he said, let there be. And it would be over. That's true power under control. When he hung on a cross for you and me, when he hung on that cross, he could have said, this is it. I've had enough. And what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And look what Matthew 11 says, 28 and 30. You know these verses well. It says, come to me, all you who are laboring and heavy laden. Are you laboring and heavy laden this morning? And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle, that word means meek, and lowly in heart, and you will find your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In Jesus' day, when they trained oxen, they understood this analogy really well. They trained oxen. You know what they did? It's a double yoke oxen. I've seen some of you guys have them up in your house and all that. What they would do is they would put a mature, older oxen over here on one side, and then they'd get the young guy, right? Now, one full of gas and didn't know what to do, they put him over another yoke. What's he going to do? He can't do much except for learn from the old guy, right? He learned from the mature, the one that was trained, that oxen. And that's how they broke him. That's how he learned to work and do what he's supposed to do. Jesus says, just yoke up with me. Come on, I'm on the other side. Get in here and follow me, and I'll show you what you're supposed to do. We're to learn from him. Take my yoke upon you. Why? Because it's easy. Right? And you'll find this thing, what your soul's searching for this morning. I want you to know something. You don't know Christ, and you know you don't. You know you've heard all of it. Heard it all preached, and you think it's a bunch of garbage, just like everything. It's just religion that man's made up. I'm going to tell you, you're furthest from the truth you've ever been. Today can be your day that you yoke up with Jesus Christ and the purpose that you're looking for and the peace that you're trying to find in the world and the fun. It does not last, and it will never last. But the purpose you're looking for is yoking up with Jesus and allowing him to train you and teach you and take you through life on the greatest journey you'll ever be on. Serving the Lord, being a Christian, loving him. Is it easy? No. Not easy life. The yoke's easy. But living it out in this world that tells you to do completely opposite of what the Scripture does, that's not easy. But let me tell you, the price is out of this world. The return on investment, ROI, is out of this world, pardon the pun. It's the only thing that brings us lasting satisfaction. Was Jesus weak? He was the man of steel. He was the true man of steel. It wasn't Superman. It was Jay. It was Jesus. True man of steel. Why? Because he sacrificed himself for you and me. for all the sins of the world, whosoever will. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what Satan keeps telling you. You'll never be good enough to be saved. You're right, by the way. None of us are good enough to be saved. But I want to tell you that it can come under the blood of Jesus Christ, and he can clean you up and make you a new creature in him. Anybody. It doesn't matter what you've done. So don't listen to the voices. He hung on a cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. Well, the results of meekness, look at this, for they shall inherit the earth. Think about that statement. The meek shall inherit the earth. World domination through meekness? What a paradox. But you know, it's really Psalms 37 being lived out. If you read Psalms 37, it's talking about, and the psalmist is speaking about the wicked. How can the wicked prosper? How many of us can say that today? How many of us said that? How in the world can this world keep on going on like it's going? Lord Jesus, what's going on? It seems like the people that are living for the world and Satan are the ones going ahead, and the people that are trying to do right are the ones getting smashed out. Same thing, Psalms 37. That's what it's saying. And it keeps talking about repeatedly in that psalm about who's going to inherit the land, who's going to inherit the earth, who's it going to be. God said it's going to be his children. It's going to be his children. The meek shall inherit the earth and delight themselves in the abundance of peace is what Psalms 37:11 says. They're going to inherit the earth. You know what? It's coming and it's worth everything. Everything that you give, Christ will come back one of these days. And a new heaven and a new earth is what it's speaking about. You will inherit that. But in a sense, think about this. If you're a child of the King, you've already inherited it. Live in that moment. Understanding where you're at. Why? Because his promises never fail. And he will return. And we will inherit the earth through him. The new heavens and the new earth through Jesus Christ and what he's done. And one of these days, then it's worth everything that you give. It's worth everything that you go through. I don't know what you're facing right now, but I promise you this, Jesus is worth it all. Jesus is worth it all. I know when Sandy had the children, you know, birth pains. Talks about birth pains in the Scripture many times. And I don't understand that, by the way, and I don't pretend to. I would get in a lot of trouble with the women, right? But you ladies that's had babies know what it is, the pain and the agony of giving birth to a child. But you know what the Scripture says? But it's forgotten for the joy of the baby. It's forgotten. I noticed that, the anguish of it. When that baby was laid up on her and she got the hug, wasn't no screaming going on then. It was laughing and crying and joy. You understand? And he says that, you know, the things and the troubles that you're facing in this world is just like those birth pains. But boy, when the joy, when Christ, when your faith becomes sight, I'm going to tell you, it's worth it all, my friend. Worth it all. And the world promises you all this stuff that leads to nothing. And Jesus says, just wait. It's coming. It's worth it all. And when we see our loved ones in pain and suffering, it's worth it all. Why? Because Jesus paid it all. All Christians are called to have this power under control. We have joy even when things go south. You know what? Things go south sometimes, don't they? If we're not careful. Our life's like a roller coaster. Yeah, it's funny, ain't it? I'm still spinning. Old people's not supposed to ride roller coasters. I've learned that, okay? That's your pro pointer for today, too. But you know what? If we're not careful, life is like a roller coaster for us, and it is ups and downs. But you know what? And a lot of times we react because of the ups and downs. The hills and the valleys and all these things, if we're not careful, that's how our life is it controlled. Our happiness is this roller coaster ride. How do we overcome that? That's the way the world does life, by the way, is the roller coaster ride. How do we come out and become even killed? It's because we have joy no matter when life goes south. We have a joy that we can hold on to. Why? Because Jesus is in control no matter what it looks like, and he's coming back. He paid the price for your sin, and one day there won't be any pain, no sorrow, no suffer, no sin. Now that'll bring you even keeledness in your life, and you won't be riding that roller coaster of life all the time. But you'll understand there's an even keel there. And you know what? And it's headed right for the cross and for the culmination of the cross and what Jesus did. The trumpet will sound. And we'll be released. Praise God. Well, how do we develop this as we're finishing up? How do we develop this idea of meekness? I want to just think about three things. three things as we're developing. All right, we understand that it's not natural. It's not given to tendencies. If you're shy and quiet person, that doesn't mean you're meek. It comes from the Spirit of God dwelling within us, so it's a gift of the Spirit of God. So how is it that we develop this? Do you understand that these gifts that you have, that they need to be developed, they need to be exercised? So how is it that we develop this meekness? Three ways. First, listen to this. Continually reflect and grow in the gospel. You say, what are you talking about there, Dave? We should learn to continuously live at the foot of the cross and in the shadow of the cross. We should be continuously thankful and think about where Christ has brought us, where we were, where He's brought us, and where we're at and where we're going. And that is a rehearsal of the gospel in our lives continuously. You know what? God saw our faults, and instead of crushing us, He sent His Son to deliver us, to bring us into the family of God. If that won't, I'll tell you what, if that won't light you fire your woods wet, something's wrong. He saw us for what we were. Instead of crushing us, He sends His best. And He brings us into the family of God that we can have hope, that we can live in Him. Continuously rehearse that to yourselves. You get up, you're having a bad day, rehearse the gospel, what Jesus did for you. Rehearse the gospel daily in your life. Jesus and how He died for you and where He's brought you from. Remind yourself. Sometimes we forget just how far He's brought us, don't we? We forget just how far He brought us. I remember what it was to be a lost man, vile and sick, and searching for everything, searching for something in the things of the world, in a bottle, in drugs, in relationship, all these things that the world says, this will bring you happiness, and you think, oh, yeah, that's it. And all of a sudden, look, you find yourself lost and wondering, what in the world is life about? Jesus brings purpose. We rehearse the cross. Let me tell you, if you've never come to the foot of the cross, you don't even know what I'm talking about. Today can be your day that you give Christ your life, that you can begin a new journey, a new creature. That's what the Scripture says. Continually reflect and grow in the gospel. You know, He has been meek to us through the gospel, by the way. Power under control. Think about His goodness. And secondly, make war against our pride and sinful nature. Make war against that. You know what pride says? Pride says, oh, I deserve this. This is what I deserve, why I've worked so hard. You know what sinful nature says? Yeah, I like that. I like that. Sounds good, pride. Let's go for that. Jesus says for us to hate these things, to war against it. In fact, Proverbs 3:34 says, God opposes the proud. If you're a proud person, that's not a trait of God, okay? If you think you're better than somebody else because of something that you've done or not done, you're wrong. None of us are better than anybody else here. I don't care what's tagging along with you. None of us are better. At the foot of the cross, we're all level. None of us. So pride is not an option. He says, bring that under. God opposes the proud. We should never see ourselves better than any others. In fact, we crucify the sinful nature. We put it to death. Pray to kill our pride that we can grow in meekness. Pride does not honor God. So it should be one of those things. We make war against our pride, against our sinful nature, against ourselves. And lastly, cultivate meekness together. Encourage each other. Keep each other accountable. That's what the church is about. Learn together. Study together. Live out faith together. We don't just have things here so you can pick and choose at what you're coming to. Come together. Be accountable. Love one another. Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that cultivates meekness in us. Live in community. That's what this is about. That's what church is about. It's no longer what you think it is. It's what the Word of God says. And it's a community that Christ has brought together with gifts that we are to serve one another, but also serve our community, take the gospel out into a lost world. And when you get a hold of that, church becomes a brand new thing for you. And you don't realize you didn't just choose to be here, but God brought you here and He had a purpose. Find that purpose. Live in community. Lives lived out in community together. Honor Him. Find others, meet and read, study, learn, grow. You know what meek people are? They're encouragers. They're not discouragers. They're encouragers. Encourage somebody this week. You know there's a lot of people out there that needs encouragement right here in your own church family. Not to mention the lost world that needs encouraging. We're to be encouragers, not discouragers. The kingdom is inherited not by the might, but what? By the meek. By the meek. This is not a religion about rules and laws. If that's all it is to you, you're missing out on a lot of relationship. It's not a religion about do's and don'ts. I don't do this, I do that. That's what makes me right with God. It's about Christ. It's about a Savior. It's about a standard that He set of the Master. And He said, this is what we're supposed to look like. And quit telling yourself and making excuses for yourself and say, Lord, I desperately need You. I feel and see how short that I am, but I see how great that You are. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, I want to live that life. I don't want to be a nominal, just regular Christian that does things. I don't want to look like the world. I want to look like Christ. The Christ in me, the hope of glory. I want to have, listen, these years are ticking off quick. May's gone. June 14th's already here, half of June. How long are we going to wait till we get to the part where we're sick of ourselves and say, Lord Jesus, I want to burn white hot for You. Or do I just want to go through the motions? I just want to go through it, get by. That's where we're at today, by the way. That's why these two flags are where they're at, okay, and going further and further apart. Because it used to be, when Christians lived like Christians are supposed to be, that this flag lined up with what this said. What this said. But now, what is it? It's a hodgepodge. It's a Pandora's box of whatever you want to pick out, whatever you want to make your truth, and you can believe it, not believe it, whatever. You know what that's called? It's called lost. Bottom line. There's only one way to heaven, one way to the Father. That's through the Son. That's through Jesus. Applications, and we're done. We're getting ready to have our baptismal service. Looking forward to that. Applications. Are you a gentle person? When I say gentle, and you say, well, wait a minute, that don't describe me as gentle. Talk about meekness. Are you meek? Are you power under control? Do you allow Christ to live through you? Gentle person. What about number two? Is your idea of meekness contrary to Christ? Did you have idea of what meek is supposed to be? Like, ugh, I don't want no part of that. Is your idea of meekness contrary to Christ? And then third, most important, do you have the assurance of Jesus dwelling within you this morning? That's the bottom line. Is Christ in you? If He's there, you know it. And it's not no, let me help, let me straighten somebody else. I hope so. What does that mean? What does that look like? I hope so. John says that you may know so. It's not a hope so, it's a know so. And I don't mean with arrogance and saying, all right, it's just that, here's what happened. When Christ came in, He changed me. He changed me. Does that mean I had a long way to go? He's still working on me a lot till I won't be where I'm supposed to be till I get there to heaven. But you know what? He's changing me, and I see the steps of growth in my life. And you should be able to see that too. I hope so. You can know so. Why? Because when the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within you, it's going to change a man or woman. It's going to make you different. If it did not change you, how in the world is it going to get you into heaven? What kind of salvation is that? That's a weak understanding of salvation. That's fire insurance that don't get you anywhere but to the fire. That's what it does. So this morning during our time of decision, Lindy, if you'll come and start praying. I'll do some praying. I want to stand to our feet. Stand on our feet and ask us, and you guys that are going to join the church, you can come on down when we start here in a minute. Candidates to baptism, you can be getting ready to go and be baptized. But right now, I want to shut your eyes before the Lord. It's you and God, nobody else. I want you to ask yourself, do I have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Am I a meek person? He's saying that the Kingdom citizens look this way. Can I see that in my life? Maybe you've never received Christ. This is your day. This is your day to receive Him. Come right now as we get ready to sing. Right at the start of the verse, right at the start of the singing, come then. Do whatever it is God's telling you to do. Do not be disobedient. Children of God, if God's telling you to do something, do it. If you're lost and the Holy Spirit's convicting you, come forward and be saved. Whatever it is He's trying to tell us to do, let's do.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live.
Can you sing this? Do you really surrender all?
I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender.
This could be your verse. Open the doors of the church. May be seated. We're going to finish with a couple baptisms here. Go ahead and keep playing. We've got a couple people we're going to baptize, and first is Eric Danner. Just sit right here and face that way, Eric. Spoke to Eric a while back about, and he came to me and talked about wanting to join the church, and so we're so thankful. He's been working with Linda and in our WANA program and serving already, and we appreciate that, Eric. Thank you so much for already being a part of service, and so he's come wanting to be baptized into the body of the South Fork Baptist Church here today, into the body of Jesus Christ. And so, Eric, have you received the Lord and Savior as Jesus as your Savior? Well, by your testimony, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Give me a hand. You get up and get out here, and then you come back around in just a minute. All right, Kevin.
Make sure he's all right.
You ready? Yeah, go on up. Go on up there. I have had the privilege for the last little while. Here's your glasses. Hey, this is the way we do it, right? This is family. Had the privilege of getting to know Archie and Blanche Rourke. Went up and spent some time with Arch, and just so thankful for him and his testimony he told me and about receiving the Lord Jesus. And said, Kevin, you want to get in front of him there? I can help you. There you go. Just go step and take a step right there, Arch. You're good. Good job. There you go. And then the seat's right in front of you. Go out to the left. Go out to the, there you go. Your left a little bit. Come around and see it. Kevin's going to help me out here. Sure am glad. But Arch said that he had received the Lord and that he wanted to be baptized. He even talked about, let me take your glasses, and I'll give them back to you. He talked about that he had dreamed about it. You remember you shared that with me, Arch. I never forgot that. He said he dreamed about being baptized one day. And you know what I told him? I said, you don't have to dream about it. And the last time we had baptism, he said he was ready now. And so I appreciate that. And I appreciate your testimony, Arch. Have you received the Lord Jesus as your Savior, Archie? Well, by your testimony, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Here's his glasses. All right. Tell you what amazing thing the Lord does. Ain't the Lord good? Let's pray together. Father, it's been good to be in your house today. Thank you so much for the testimony of baptism. People that have received Christ, they want to be baptized into the body of Christ. Thank you so much for that, Lord. I'm glad it's not this water that makes people right, but it's the testimony of Jesus. And Lord, by that signifying that something has happened in their life, Lord, that they've received the Lord Jesus, that they're dying to themselves and living for Him. And so I thank you, Lord. Touch somebody's heart. If somebody here, Lord, that didn't feel comfortable with coming forward, that they'll tell us, God, if you're still working on somebody's heart, God, let them to make that known, and we'll thank you for it. God, have your will and your way in this service and in these people. Protect them as they go home. In Christ's name and for His glory, amen.